Please turn, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 31. In a little bit, we will read verse 11 through verse 13. Deuteronomy 31. When considering modern Christianity in the church, one must wonder about the type of emphasis. For example, I have been a Christian for 45 years and have been active in church all but the first year. And I have seen all that a church can offer. I am familiar with the music, the cantatas, and the plays. I know about youth activities, ball fields, gymnasiums, retreats, and summer camps. I have been to the parties and youth groups, afterglows, progressive dinners, and treasure hunts. And as a pastor for nearly 35 years, I have witnessed numerous visitors who have visited but never returned. Not because the Bible wasn't being preached or the truth wasn't being proclaimed, but because there are just a variety of personal reasons. Sometimes there were priorities other than the preaching of the Word which led them away. I have told you about the family that was visiting the church in my former pastorate. After several weeks of visiting, they didn't come back. So I went to visit, and the man of the house told me that they were going to a certain church there in town because there were things there for their kids to do. But I told him, so they like going to church, but they won't hear the truth there. What does it profit if they like going, but then they die and go to hell? And I think that's a valid argument. Now, I'm not opposed to ball fields and gymnasiums or youth groups. I am opposed when those things are the only concern. What should be the major criteria when looking for a church to attend? What should be the emphasis when we gather together? I would remind you that the Bible tells us that John the Baptist came preaching. Jesus came preaching. The early church was to go into all the world preaching the gospel. I read where the Apostle Paul exhorted young Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I also read where we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I am convinced that the central focus of a church should be the preaching of the word of God. Entertainment, events, and activities are not the main concern. The preaching is. Music is good and necessary, but it isn't the pinnacle of the service. The preaching is. After all, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let us look into our text and learn about the true focus. And as you do, please note the impact that such a focus will have upon your children. I have desired to speak a message unto you which I've entitled, A Bible Focus. And so let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house, and thank you for these that are with us today. And our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. Lord, you know those needs and those cases, and we just pray that your will be done in their lives. But we have come together in your name today to worship you in spirit and in truth, and that word which you've laid upon my heart to share, I pray that you would just work it in every one of our hearts today. Move by your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand, comprehend, and find application, that we would, Lord, be benefited from the declaration of your word. We honor you today. We love you. Thank you so much for this time. And Lord, help us to realize the necessity of the word of God, the importance of the word of God, and Lord, just draw us to you. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Think about a Bible focus today. We want to read Deuteronomy 31. My text will be verse 11 through verse 13. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it." Now this passage which I have chosen to speak to you from, let me bear out the context for you. The children of Israel had been delivered from Egypt, but after a moment of rebellion at Kadesh, they were doomed to wander in the wilderness for another 38 years. So now, after 40 years of wandering, the nation is perched on the eastern side of the Jordan River, poised to enter into the promised land. Remember, Moses had led them for those 40 years. And all that time, he was their advocate before Jehovah God. And God had met with him personally on several occasions, had given him the Ten Commandments, and among other things, had instructed him in the laws for the people. So Moses, before his departure here, he writes down the history, the laws, and the covenants. And these things are encompassed in the first five books of our Bible, otherwise known as the Pentateuch, or to the Jews, the Torah. Now in his final instruction to Joshua and the nation, Moses tells them that they are to take heed to the word of God. One thing that they were to do was to read the law publicly every 7 years during the Feast of the Tabernacles. That brings us to our passage. But as I mentioned a few moments ago, there is a tendency, I believe, for a displacement of the Word of God. The Bible doesn't seem to be as important to professing Christians as it once was. And as a result, many churches... In these many churches, the preaching of the Word has been watered down or eliminated altogether. And I believe that our text will remind us of the importance of the Bible and the emphasis that it should have in our assemblies. If you would notice then, the first point I would like to demonstrate to you is gather together. By the way, the outline is in the bulletin on the back of the prayer list if you would like to follow along. But we find in the passage, they gathered together. And so verse 11, the first part of the verse says, "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose." Verse 12, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is in thy gates." They gathered together. Go back, if you would, a few pages to your left, back to chapter 16, Deuteronomy chapter 16. I want to lay out for you the requirement for the children of Israel is that they were to gather together on a regular basis. Specifically, the men of Israel were commanded to gather together three times in a year. And so all the men were to depart from their homeland, their homes and all that, make their way to Jerusalem, and they would do so three times a year. That was God's command. This is found in Deuteronomy 16 and in verse 16 where it says, "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty." And so note that the children of Israel were encouraged and commanded to come together. But when we look into our passage and that which we read from verse 11 down through verse 13, back up to verse 10, and you'll notice that this context, as I mentioned, was in regard to the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so the verse 10 tells us, "And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of the Tabernacles." That's where we have our passage coming in, and the matter of gathering together. But when we have in the text, we read of how the men are to come three times a year, that included the Feast of the Tabernacles. But on the seventh year, well, who else was supposed to come? Well, everybody was supposed to come. The women, the children, and even the strangers. And so there was a cause for the children of Israel in those ancient times to gather together in order to worship God and in order to hear the Word of God. Now, of course, later on, the people gathered together on the Sabbath day to worship and to hear. They did so in the synagogues after the synagogue came into existence. most likely after the Babylonian captivity, they would come and they would gather on the Sabbath day and they would hear the Word of God. Now, there's a New Testament passage that expresses the regular, continual habit of the Jews to gather together and to worship on that day and to enter into the things of God. And I'm going to read to you Acts chapter 15 and verse 21, where James, when he speaks, declares something about the children of Israel's practice. And he says in verse 21 of Acts 15, For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. What does that tell you? That tells you that the children of Israel were taught to gather together. And as time progressed, it morphed into synagogue worship, and they came every Sabbath day, every week, they were coming together. And what were they doing when they were coming together? There was the preaching of Moses, the teaching of the law. And so that's what we find within the text. Now, I believe that all these things are illustrative of the importance of gathering together. Because I certainly understand that you could look at me and say, well, that was Deuteronomy 31. It has nothing to do with me today, and so you're really off base in your preaching. I would disagree with that because I think this is a picture here, and we can learn from these words that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 31, although it would be written to the children of Israel those long days ago. Illustrative in the sense that we find a New Testament exhortation unto us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, it is right for you to be here today. When the church of God gathers together, it's good to be gathered together. That's what they did in the Old Testament. That's the teaching of the Old Testament. That's what happened in the New Testament. That's what occurred in the churches. And so as we gather together, that's what we've done. That's what we find in the beginning of our passage here in Deuteronomy 31. Notice then, secondly, they came together for the purpose of hearing the law. And so in verse 11, the latter part of the verse, it says, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Get them together, read the law. Verse 12, the middle part of that verse, that phrase, that they may hear. Turn, if you would, to the book of Acts in chapter 13 for just a moment. Acts chapter 13. I submit unto you that, and I think it's very clear even as we've already discussed, but I submit unto you that the Jewish worship, the synagogue worship, involved the Word of God. Even as we see demonstrated in our own passage in Deuteronomy 31, this is so the case. In Acts chapter 13, there's a statement in verse 14 and verse 15. And it's talking about the first missionary journey of the apostle Paul and Barnabas as they went out. And it says in verse 14, when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So as they went about their missionary journeys, they went into the synagogues on the Sabbath. They sat down among them. Notice it says in verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So is the synagogue practice to what? Read the law, to read from the prophets. And then certain individuals would be invited to speak, of which on this occasion Paul and Barnabas were being invited as strangers to speak unto the people. But what do you find involved within the synagogue worship? The preaching, the teaching of the law and the prophets. Let me share with you a few verses from the book of Luke in chapter 4 and verse 16 and verse 17. Speaking about Jesus' ministry, it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And what we find is it was Jesus' custom. As he grew up, he was a Jew. And as he grew up, he was taken to the synagogue and he worshiped in the synagogue. And as he became an adult, he went into the synagogues and he stood up to read. What was he reading? He was reading from the Torah. He was reading from the prophets. Just as we mentioned a moment ago, synagogue worship involved the Word of God. Over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." What was the ministry? It was a preaching ministry. And of course, the healing ministry was that of offering up of signs as to his power and ability. If you still have a finger in Acts 13, go over a page to Acts 15. Because I want to make mention that as things progressed over time and they developed the synagogue worship, now with the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of his church, that his type of churches had the same kind of concept. And very much patterned after the synagogue form of worship. But in Acts chapter 15, I want to read one verse to you talking about the Apostle Paul. And it says, "Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch." That was when they were at the church of Antioch. "Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." Well, you say, well, I'm sure that they had events and activities and they got together in fellowship. No doubt about it. But what's the emphasis of the scripture? What they did is they preached the word of God. That was the focus. That was the center, wasn't it? And so I want to remind you of Paul's exhortation to Timothy when he spoke of the house of God, where he told Timothy that the house of God is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That means the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We adhere to the Word of God, we preach the Word of God, we preach the truth of the Word of God, and that's the main focus, isn't it? That's the main emphasis. Other things are okay, but the main focus, a Bible focus, is the Bible itself and the preaching and teaching of God's Word. So we look into our text and go back to our passage back in Deuteronomy 31 and notice there that, well, they gathered together for the purpose of hearing the law. And so momentarily, I just want to make a mention. Look into verse 12 once again. Who is it that should gather? In verse 12, it says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates." It is clear that everybody was invited at that time at the Feast of the Tabernacles. For what purpose? Well, it was to hear the law. We'll see that again in just a moment. Everyone. And so when we gather together in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, it's just not men, it's just not women, but it's men and women and children and strangers, people who don't even believe. If you can get them in, you want them to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And notice also, back up to verse 11 here in our text, that they are coming together, and when they come together, it is in God's presence. In verse 11, it says, "When all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose." When they shall appear. And I submit unto you today, as we come together in the Lord's church to worship God in spirit and in truth, that God meets with us. The scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." What's the parallel? You look in the Old Testament within our passage, and they are to gather together before God. And what are we doing here today? We are gathering together before God. So for what purpose do we gather together? Well, it's already been mentioned as we come through the text, but look at verse 12 once again in the middle part of that verse. And it says that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. What was the purpose for Israel gathering together that 7 years to read the word before them? Is so that they may hear, they may learn, they may fear, and they may observe. That's the purpose. By the way, I submit unto you, that's our purpose. That's what still needs to be done in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, let's consider for a moment about the purpose of which they were gathered together. Note the progression here. Look at these four items, how they tie together. I'm made to think over in Romans chapter 10 where it talks about a person can't be saved unless they believe, but they can't believe unless they hear, and they can't hear unless somebody be sent. And when I look at this text here and it says that they come together so that they might hear, they might learn, they might fear, and they might observe. The final result is, the desire of God is that all these people, men and women, young and old, children, adults, teenagers, whoever it might be, Israel or Gentile, if they would just observe His Word. That's the final analysis of it. Who will observe My Word? That's what God is saying. But in order to observe the Word, you must first fear God. So you take that step back. If you don't fear God, if you don't have a reverence toward God, if you don't have any respect or regard toward God in heaven, you're not going to obey Him. Well, why should you? Or you're not afraid of Him. You have no concern. And we find that just so abundantly in the lost culture today. Why do they do what they do? There's no fear of God before their eyes. The text tells us they want to hear, to learn, to fear, and to observe. And you'll not observe until you fear God. But we back that up one more step. You will not fear God unless you learn about God. Why is it people are not afraid of God today? Why is it that people have no respect or reverence toward God? Because they don't even know who God is. They've never been taught. They've never heard what they need to know about who God is, the sovereign God of the universe. They never learned about Him. And since they never learned about Him, they do not fear Him. Since they do not fear Him, they do not observe His commandments. Back it up to that first step, and that is to hear. If they do not hear, they will not learn. And so the steps are very clear within the passage, aren't they? What is the purpose? All these people were gathered together. You read the Word of God so they might hear it, they might learn it, they might fear God, and they might observe. You know, that's the intent of preaching, isn't it? To declare the Word of God so that you would hear it, you would learn it, and you would fear God and observe what God has said. Isn't this true of what we find in the passage? Isn't that the purpose which God gave? Now, I want you to look within that text in verse 12, the latter part of the verse. I want to make it very clear that the object of concern is the Lord. It says that they may fear the Lord your God. Who is it that you ought to reverence more than anything? It's God. Who should you fear? It's God, isn't it? Who should be the object of concern in your life? God should be your primary concern. So you look at the end of verse 12, and the purpose is to hear, to learn, to fear, and to observe the Lord their God for the purpose, it says at the end of the text, to do all the words of this law. So sliding into the next point, the concern is over the Word of God, isn't it? All the words of this law. I mentioned unto you in the introduction, I talked about Moses and how God revealed truth to Moses and the things of God and His instruction and His commands and the laws, and Moses wrote all that down. Was that Moses' words or God's words? They were God's words, weren't they? Because God gave the instruction to Moses, and Moses wrote those down. And so as they are to gather together, they read the Torah, and they pronounce the law so that they can learn about God. The important thing to recognize here that it is God's Word. And I submit unto you, we still have God's Word today. And we have, fortunately, more than just the Torah. We also have the prophets, we have the writings, and we have the New Testament Scriptures. What a privilege to have a copy of the Word of God. What a grand privilege it is to have it in a language which we can understand. Aren't you glad it's in English? How many of you are Greek and Hebrew scholars? I see no hands. If it was still in the original language as it was given, we'd have a hard time, wouldn't we? But aren't you glad you can read it in English? God has given us His Word. And so as He calls these people together and He wants them to learn about Him, and they're going to learn about Him through the Word which He has given. And so the concern is all about the Word of God. And so it is God's Word. These are the words that God gave. Now notice, where was the words of God found? They were found in His house. Now even in the old days when they had just a tabernacle in the wilderness, where did they put the Ten Commandments? They put it in the tabernacle in the wilderness. They took the Ten Commandments, put it inside the Ark of the Covenant. Where was the law found? The place where God dwelt. And so we read in the Scripture that over and over and over, I gave references to you, that in the synagogue worship, they read from Moses and the prophets, didn't they? Where was the Word of God found? It was found in the synagogues. When Paul was preaching in the churches, where is the Word of God found? It's in the churches. Where should the Word of God be found today? It ought to be found in God's house, the pillar and the ground of the truth, as we mentioned unto you. But not only is it to be found there, it is to be proclaimed, isn't it? And so we look in the latter part of verse 12. You've got to do all the words of the law. You need to hear it, and you need to respond to it. So the Word must be proclaimed. That's what I'm trying to do today. Just simply proclaim the Word of God to you. And I submit unto you, whether you think about the temple form of worship, or the synagogue worships, or even in the church worship, amidst all the singing and all the instrumentals and anything else that might go on, the preaching of the Word of God is the focus. It's always been the focus, and it should always be the focus. The singing was good. David instructed Solomon about the singing. They had all kinds of people singing. Hundreds and hundreds of people in their choir singing, and they had instrumentals. Nothing wrong with that. But what's the focus? It's the preaching of the Word every time. And so the concern is the Word of God. Now, look into verse 13 as we come down toward the end of the message. And I mentioned in the introduction about our children. Does this make a difference? I believe that it does. In verse 13, we've noticed that parents are to expose their children to the truth. That's our obligation as parents. Verse 13, the first part of the verse. Go through the flow of the text. And he says in verse 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, what do you find? You want them to learn. You want them to grow. They have not known. So they must be taught. My two boys, you know, they didn't come forth from the womb quoting scriptures. They didn't know anything about God. And we've done what we could through their life to teach them about Jesus and to teach them about the Scripture and truth and the Bible and so many things. We want them to know the things of God. We did our best. But they didn't know them. They had to be taught. Your children must be taught. So parents, take the initiative to recognize this truth is not going to come by osmosis. It must be taught. One way to do it is to bring them into the house of God, just like you have done so today. And it's good to see young people today, children here today. It's good to have them in the Sunday school that they might be taught. You want them to know the Word of God. Parents are to teach their children. Verse 13 says that their children which have not known anything. But notice the purpose beyond all that. It says in the latter part of verse 13 then, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over the Jordan to possess it. What is the purpose of children under the Word of God? It's the same purpose as it is for adults. When they gathered together, they were to get the men, the women, the children. Not what the text told us. Those are who were to gather. They were to read the Word of God. Those four things that we already elaborated upon, I remind you, same is still true for the children. It's same for them. They are to hear. They are to learn. They are to fear. And they are to observe. And would God, by God's grace, our children would hear the Word of God. They would learn what that is, understand it, comprehend it, digest it a little bit, and fear God, that it makes a difference in their life, because then they will observe God's command. They will be obedient unto Him. This writing is given to the children of Israel, telling them about their obligation and responsibility as parents to teach their children. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Lest you think that I'm just pulling this out of context or trying to emphasize something that isn't there, this is what Moses wrote earlier, Deuteronomy chapter 4, we have, and in verse 9 and verse 10. Parents, we ought to be concerned about our children. We ought to be concerned about the youth. Deuteronomy 4, 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, specially the day that the Lord that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Making a reference to the giving of the Ten Commandments, where he gathered the people together, they might hear, that they might learn, that they would observe. And it was to the children, wasn't it? As we read in the previous verse, to the sons and to the sons' sons, even grandchildren. It's our obligation to teach and to train. Go over a few pages, Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Parallel passage to this we will not read is Deuteronomy 11, verse 19. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Some of you had a grand opportunity to have parents who loved the Lord and taught and trained and took you to church. Don't be condemning of that. Be thankful that they loved you enough and were able to bring you and teach you and train you, just as the Scripture says. I didn't have that privilege. My parents weren't saved. I was saved as a teenager, and we hardly ever went. I imagine we hadn't gone to church a handful of times all my life. You've been blessed if you've been taken to church and been taught the things of God. I would remind you of Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I submit unto you, my friend, that parents are to expose their children to the truth. Now back in our text, in verse 13, it talks at the end of the passage there about the children of Israel going over into the land of promise. I submit unto you that when you listen to God's word, when you respond to God's word, that God blesses those who follow Him. I believe that to be the case. So back in, we read in the text here, you're going to go over to Jordan, you're going to dwell in the land. Did God bless them for that? Well, He did. But just a few references. Deuteronomy 6, once again. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24. Some people say, well, why should I care about the Word of God? God will bless you if you get into His book, learn His book, fear God, and observe His commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, one verse. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. Did God bless them because they feared God? Back up to chapter 5, Deuteronomy 5, 29. He says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Is there a blessing in hearing God's word and obeying it? Deuteronomy chapter 4, go back another page. Deuteronomy 4:40. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. That it may be well with you, and your life would be prolonged. Listen, if you will, go back to our text, Deuteronomy 31, but listen as you do. Leviticus 25:18 says, wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land safely. Deuteronomy 29:9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Psalm 19, verse 7 and verse 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All about the Word of God, isn't it? It says in verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. How true it is. Back in our text, the last point is this. Verse 13 says, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it, not only will God bless them, but their pursuit of the Word of God should be as long as they live. For them, every 7 years, Feast of Tabernacles, they all need to get together and they need to read the Word of God. The purpose? Well, we've gone all the way through this in the message. How long do they do that? As long as they are in the land. It's really a statement as long as you live. And that's the idea, isn't it? How often should we gather together? As long as we live. How often should we hear the Word of God? As long as we live. How often should we hear and learn and fear and observe? As long as we live. I submit unto you, my friend, to love the Word of God. Love the preaching of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word. Make it a priority. And so in closing, I submit unto you, number one, God has given us His Word. What a blessing it is to be able to open it up. Number two, it is right to gather together to hear God's Word. It's right. We have a generation now that doesn't think that it's necessary to gather together. Yet I gave you that verse out of Hebrews. So much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we come to Christ, the more we should gather together. But he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. It is right to gather together to hear God's Word. Number three, the purpose remains the same. As it was then, it is today. It is to hear, it is to learn, it is to fear, and it is to observe. Same purpose. Number four, parents are obligated to keep their children under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. It's your obligation. I encourage you to fulfill it. And then I close by saying, number five, while other things are important, and there are things that are important, I don't diminish them. I believe the Bible is the focus. Music's fine, activities are fine, entertainment's fine, not in the church, but as a youth activity or something. You can do those kind of things. I'm not opposed to gymnasiums and ball fields. But what's the focus? What's the purpose? What's the main goal? I believe the Bible is preaching of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word. And I think that's biblical. And so may God teach it to our hearts that we may do such. Let's stand. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. Thank you for those that are here today to hear. And I pray that they would not only hear, but they would learn. They would not only hear and learn, but they would also fear you. And of course, then we know that that will result in observing what you've commanded us. So teach us. We ask you to save the lost, convict them, and draw them to you. And may we who are saved be strengthened and encouraged to love you, to love your Word, to love your church, and that we might gather often to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Song is number 441. 441.